excellent anxiety. And we are staying in Glasgow for tonight's On the Record feature. Over the summer, I've spoken to Danny Wilson about Mary's Prayer, Bobby Bluebell about Young at Heart, Arab Strap about the first big weekend, and loads more. And this week, I'm talking to Deacon Blues' Ricky Ross about one of Scotland's best loved songs. It's an alternative national anthem of sorts. It's about a ship called Dignity, and a whole lot more. I sat down with Ricky on a suitably rainy afternoon in Glasgow, and he told me all about where and when he wrote Dignity and the musical and literary influences behind a song whose themes and music have resonated throughout Deacon Blues' career right up to their current album, The Believers. Here's how Dignity came to life. Can you shine a light on a place in time where you could say that's where Dignity became a song?
Yeah, I could. I'd be troubled to go back to the actual place because I can't remember. Funnily enough, I was in on the island where it was written last summer again for the first time since it was written. So it was written in 1985. It was in the summer. I was married to someone else. I was in my first marriage. We went on holiday, just the two of us, to Crete. And it was boiling hot. From memory, it was maybe around a swimming pool even. It was somewhere in a holiday setting, and I was just in a little notepad. And actually, I used to write a lot of things. Fun enough, this might be one of the ones. I used to take the jotters from that said Strathclyde Regional Council, and I still have one, I think, in the house, which has a version of Rain Tin on it. And I used to write the songs, because I was an English teacher at the time I was teaching. So I used to use them as my notebook. So some of them look like school jotters.
I absolutely love two things about that story. One, I mean, Dignity is so embedded in our kind of Scottish collective imagination and consciousness, and it feels like such a Scottish song. But it was actually written elsewhere. I love that you were elsewhere. But the council resonance is wonderful as well. So the council jotter was there, this idea of working in Glasgow was at the heart of it as well.
That was at the heart of it. And then there's something else that I only thought about recently, which is probably hugely significant, which there's a very famous poem, obviously, by Robert Browning, Home Thoughts from Abroad. And then Clifford T. Ward made it into a song.
I could be a millionaire if I had the money. I could own a mansion. No, I don't think I'd like that. But I might write a song that makes you laugh. Now that would be funny. And you could tell your friends in England you'd like that. But now I've chosen aeroplanes and boats to come between us. And a line or two on paper wouldn't go amiss.
At that time, there was three weekly newspapers. There was the Sounds of Melody and the NME. And I can't even remember, probably the NME, because I was probably got that at the time. And there was a big sort of Morrissey feature on the front, and it was featured Home Thoughts from Abroad. And I think, when I think back on it now, that was probably part of the thing, you know, just to be thinking about back home when you're away, because I think that's probably one of the key elements of the song. It's a distance. It's I'm thinking about home because I'm not there. And it wasn't on that particular holiday, but maybe the year before, I'd read Anthony Burgess's Earthly Powers, which, if you've never read it, it's one of these great 20th century spanning novels about this family. And one of the particular kind of the main protagonists, who starts off in the first scene as an archbishop, without giving too much away, which becomes the Pope.
Just like that.
Yeah. And it's a great, but it is a great kind of, you know, I love these kind of novels that kind of span great big events and then the little details that go into them. But every time the writer in it, and it's a long time since I've even reread it, but the writer in it always talks, the main sort of narrator always talks about every time he just writes down the word home. It's like his world. It's like the kind of someone moves the earth from under his feet. It sets his whole thing in complete commotion. And it's it you know has such a resonance. And I think it does. I think it's like Shakespeare's word time. Sometimes when that word comes, it has an extra resonance. And I think home was doing all that for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that word and that sense has run through not just Raintown, but through the entire Deacon Blue canon, I would say, right up, obviously, A New House, the album before the last one.
Yeah.
It always comes back to it. But as you say, there can be distance. It can be looking from afar at home. But there were these key motifs in Dignity, because it came quite early, didn't it, in Deacon Blue? This was at the kind of start of the process of Raintown.
We hadn't even played a gig as Deacon. I'd done some solo things, and then I think I was coming back in that autumn to start seriously sort of trying to put a new band together, and I kind of put music to it and worked on it a little bit later, but I only brought the lyric home, but then it's sort of, I think it maybe took about 6 months for that to kind of work its way into a gig, fun enough. It was, I don't know why that was. maybe I hadn't finished writing it.
Yeah, yeah. And there are, you know, the themes of that song are the themes of Raintown, the repeated throughout Raintown. And again, I think just resonate throughout perhaps, you know, all of your work, home, as you say.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, actually, in The Believers, the last record on Believers, it's very much, you know, about, you know, that people are just searching to get to, people are really trying to come home. I mean, they're trying to get away from home because it's unsafe. But what they're really trying to do is find a place. And home in its widest sense is where you're safe and where you're happy and where your family are. So in a sense, that's right. It's absolutely
true. It's always there. Work, faith, and I would say hope through how good it would be. And I think there's always been that to some extent. You know, it's repeated throughout the record. And I loved it that early on there were these kind of touchstones in some ways. And I'm thinking about home. And I'm thinking about faith. And I'm thinking about work. And I'm thinking how good it would be to be here someday.
Yeah, I guess they were. You know, it's almost like a little memo to yourself. You know, it's funny when you think about it. It's always quite useful to throw in a question or something else, or throw in a statement. You think, well, do I still think that? I mean, I've often said one of the good things about being a songwriter is that, as opposed to being, say, a politician, for example, is you can change your mind about things and no one's going to say, you said that. So, I mean, but on the other hand, there are things that you maybe believed and thought and wanted to pursue, and it's always interesting just to go back and work out what you think about that.
Mm-hmm. The other kind of element is, you mentioned going on holiday, of course. So this is this key kind of turning point in a way, in that you come back with a song or two songs. He looks like Spencer Tracy, I think, was the same time. And they kind of echo each other to an extent as well, don't they? So you go on holiday and you come back, and that's very much coming home. The other thing you've mentioned to me before about that period is, because if you think about it in pop music at the time, it was this super polished stuff that was all over the charts. It was ABC, Trevor Horn, all wonderful. Mm. But you were coming from a more kind of rock and roll or singer-songwriter background. You mentioned the Waterboys in the past kind of channeling Dylan was a sort of revelation at the time.
Yeah, because, you know, you're right. There was a lot of these things that were quite polished pop. And I mean, even things like, I mean, there were a lot of beautiful records like Scritti Politti, and, you know, a lot of these things that were there, and even the Prefab Sprit, which we love, which was again quite polished, and not the first album, but certainly the second album. But I think essentially they were coming from a different, you know, I think that maybe what was interesting me in them was the song was central, and as was the records like, you know, Guitar Time by Steve Earle were coming out, and also, you know, so there was a kind of rootsiness about songwriting and stuff like that that was around about that time. Nancy Griffith as well.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, maybe for me, you know, and interesting enough, and 30 years later, you know, I kind of in a sense pull all these things together, because I kind of now do country music and do a program about country music. So in a sense, there were these different strands.
And it has always been there to that extent as well.
Yeah.
Dignity as a word, I mean, it's such a resonant word throughout the song. And of course, just in terms of kind of human experience as well, when did that become the title? Did you have that word When did that become the kind of leading idea for the song?
It might even be called A Ship Called Dignity or whatever, but I think this idea of the dignity of labour was what was going through my head, and it was such a big idea. And I think that, you know, if you lived through the late 70s and 80s, even if you're maybe a child, there was something going on at that time which there was a sea change, definitely a sea change. And people, you know, obviously there was the Thatcher time, and when people were saying, you know, really these big industries were broken down and a skill set was lost. Now, I think you can take lots of different political lines on this, but there's no doubt in my mind, whatever line you take, a generation of people who did work, who had particular skills, who had particular things to give, were lost. It took away their purpose, their real living. It was their whole world, and I think that you cannot underestimate how big a thing that idea of the dignity of labour was for that particular generation, how much we've lost that, really.
Yeah. But again, you've kind of made, you know, testament to that throughout many, many songs. Wages Day, of course. And again, bringing it right back to The Believers, Delivery Man is also about a portrait of a man at work.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Can't take it back, I can only give it out, 'cause I know what I'm not and what I am. I'm just the delivery man.
Now, what point when you were playing live did you realise that the audience wanted to make dignity their own?
And I remember one of our crew guys always saying to me, you guys always get people singing. I think that was one of the ways in which you just interacted. And I think people want to sing. I mean, it's funny because I am a terrible audience member. I don't want to sing. I don't want to stand up. I don't want to clap my hands. I don't want to stand there. And I kind of enjoy just looking. But I think I'm probably more unusual and that the average audience member does want to.
Because it really is, isn't it? It's almost become the audience's song. It gets to that point in the gig and it's, you know, hand the microphone over.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Nicola, you can, you know, when you're younger and when you're going through these things of becoming first, you can become a little bit blasé about it, or also a little bit, no, you know, we might not do it. But there was a time when we didn't do the song every night. Mm-hmm. And now I think, no, it's a good thing. There's certain rituals that are good rituals, and it doesn't mean to say you're being complacent about them. It's quite the opposite, in fact. Every night, there's something recreated with that audience, and it's a unique experience for me and all the band and for everyone else in the room at that time or the field or wherever it might be. And so I think it's a really important ritual to go through, and I kind of quite like it.
You mentioned obviously the ideas behind the song, but where did the kind of that vision of our much loved and sung about protagonist come from, walking down the street?
Oh yeah, well I think the street scene is, again, it's only from memory that I now remember this, but when I lived in Pollock Shields, it's a long street called Kenmure Street, and right at the foot of, well, actually, it's not the foot, it's actually the north side of it, near the town side, there was a cleansing depot. And these guys used to walk up the streets, and I used to think, where are they coming from? Like, all walking with big brushes up the street. And I only remembered that about 5 years ago, that was part of the story. And that must have been looking at the bay window of my flat, looking down the street, thinking, where are these guys? Who are these guys? Kind of thing. That was part of that thing about work and dignity is, great if everyone gets a job, but what happens if you don't?
Yeah, exactly. Do you ever think about what he might be doing now? Do you think he got his boat in the end?
I think the way people relate to the song is probably the best way, which is the important thing was not did he do it, could he do it. I think the important thing was having the dream.
There's a man I meet, walks up our street. He's a worker for the council, has been 20 years.
And he takes no lip of nobody and litter off the gutter. Puts it in the bag and never thinks to mutter. And he packs his lunch in a Sunday's bag. The children call him Boogie. He never lets on, but I know cause he once told me. He let me know a secret about the money in his kitty. He's gonna buy a dinghy, gonna call her Dignity. And I'll sail her on the west coast, through villages and towns. I'll be on my holidays, they'll be doing the rounds. They'll ask me how I got her, I'll say, I saved my money. They say, isn't she pretty? That she called Dignity. And I'm telling a story in a faraway sea, sipping down raki and reading minor keys. And I'm thinking about home and all that that means, and a place in the winter for Dignity. And I'll sail up the west coast, through villages and towns. I'll be on my holidays, they'll be doing the rounds. They'll ask me how I got a house. I'll save my money. They say, isn't she pretty? That ship called Dignity.
Deacon Blue, Dignity, as if I have to tell you. And that was Ricky Ross telling me all about the song for this week's On The Record feature. Deacon Blue are playing at Edinburgh Castle tomorrow night with Danny Wilson's Gary Clark supporting. How amazing would that be? It is, alas, long sold out. But Ricky Ross also has a solo album coming out in September. It's called Short Stories Volume 1, and he's also touring Scotland in November.